preach for us this morning.
Hey, it's good to be here. That's a good crowd, too. Did y'all know I was preaching? That's why you, you came, because, or maybe you didn't know. How many didn't know I was going to be here today? You did not know. Ah, that's why you came, right? Smart guy. You ever heard the saying, it's not what you know, but who you know? You believe that? Yeah, that's how I made it through college. I knew people. The Holloman boys here, as I refer to them, both of them are super intelligent. Now, he talks about Mark being smart, but your pastor's very intelligent as well. Do you know that? Okay, so I don't have to tell you. Well, I'm not, okay, but it's not what I know, it's who I know. So I was sharing with some guys earlier, both these guys helped me. I remember Mark especially, because we were in some of the same classes. You're a lot older than us. Not really, but I think you're the same age as me. And I'm actually older than you, aren't I? Yeah, I don't know. I failed maybe first, second grade of college. I don't know sure how I made that happen, but when you fail first grade, second grade in college, you just got to, it takes you longer. I crammed 5 years into four. Anybody else ever did that? Some of us people that it's not as sharp as others, it takes us longer. But I know now they must get it from their mother, right? I mean, you just look at her and you can tell. She's like so intelligent. She did a wonderful job raising her boys. I'm going to tell you right now. These guys, even back when we were in college and me and Lang, some of the guys could care less about doing the right thing. We were off goofing and swimming in places we probably shouldn't have been swimming, doing things that probably get us killed. They would not do that. At least not with me. I didn't know they were doing it. They always have been men of character, and I've always admired that about them. And I wanted to brag on them a little bit since her mom was here, and she gave me some money out front to do that. So I knew that would be wise to do that. But I thank the Lord for this family. They've been a lot to me through the years. But I do believe, too, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Yeah. My wife's been trying to get a job in Sevier County. And one of the administrators said, well, you really need to know some people. Now, had she known Dolly, she probably would have got a job, Dolly Parton, because the superintendent of education in that county is Jack Parton. I don't know if they're related or not, but it's not what you know, it's who you know. But she ended up getting a job in Knox County, I think because she knew your pastor and he lives in Knox County. I don't know why she got the job here, but she was blessed with that job. But I believe in life, too. It's who you know will kind of help you get along. Really, the only reason I went to college was to get to know guys like these two guys. You see where it got me today? Yeah. But I also believe it's about knowing the one person that everyone needs to know. Right. Who do you know that can really help you in life? It's Jesus. I'm going to go back a few months, okay? Let's go back to December. Let's imagine it's Christmas Eve. Let's read a verse from Isaiah, where chapter 7, verse 14, we read where the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you'll call his name Emmanuel. Merry Christmas. Y'all didn't know it was that time. My wife loves Christmas, so I just threw this verse in there just for her. That's it. Not really. The word Emmanuel, that name means God with us. God with us. Now, I don't know if you ever have times in your life where you need the Lord, but if we've ever had a time, it's today where we need the Lord. We need the Lord in our life in any kind of circumstance, difficulty we're going through. We need the Lord. Now, if you would, turn over to chapter 32 of Isaiah. And this is a verse I want to share with you today and speak some from Isaiah 32, verse 2. Isaiah 32, verse 2 says, "And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." God is with us. God, we've been told in Hebrews 13, the writer there says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." And I think today it's a blessing to know the Lord. And I think today we're blessed to be a blessing. I know the Lord today, but I have a responsibility not just to take Him and know Him myself, but to share that blessing with others. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you would know the Lord like I know the Lord, people would start asking, "Who do you know? How'd you get that job? Why did you end up getting blessed like this? Who do you know?" You've got to know somebody. You've heard that saying too. Like, you had to know somebody to get that job, right? You've got to know somebody to drive a Corvette, right? I don't drive a Corvette. I really would like to, but I don't get to. Matter of fact, I saw a nice Mustang, Brother Rodney. I'd love to have one of those new Mustangs. It's just who I know. See, if I know the right people, maybe sitting here today, you might could help me out get that Mustang. Yeah. It's who you know, but you're blessed. Why? To be a blessing. And we're blessed of God. We know God. We're blessed because we know Him, and we ought to be a blessing to others. Sometimes, though, it's difficult to be a blessing. Let me read this verse to you again, chapter 32, verse 2. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind. It's a blessing to know, to me, the Lord is a hiding place for me. A hiding place from the wind. I don't know if you, anybody else grew up in Alabama besides me? In Alabama, we have what they call tornadoes. Now, back about 10 years ago, my parents lost everything in a tornado. It was on a Wednesday evening. The tornadoes came through Alabama. Once she got cell service, she called me, and she was crying. It was right before we were getting ready to go to church. And she said, everything's gone, Chad. We've lost everything. And she was boo-hooing and screaming. And I was like, what do you mean everything's gone? Everything is just gone. I said, did somebody break in and steal something? She's like, haven't you watched the news? Don't you know what's going on? I'm like, no. She said, a tornado has just cleared everything away. I mean, the car that we are driving today was totaled in that tornado. I know, I'm still driving it. We got it fixed. It rattles a little bit. Makes it, you know, every time you go down the road, it's like, and the steering wheel goes like this when you get up to 70. But hey, it still works. Yeah. And we're driving it today because you know why? It's who you know. Yeah, my mom hooked this up. But winds can be dangerous. I remember the time when we got out of school. I worked in Mississippi for a while teaching school. And I know you guys would never thought I was teaching school. The parents of the kids, they didn't believe it either. My wife was pregnant at the time. A big storm come through, and she went home that day early for some reason. And we're over at the school, and they had the tornado sirens and everything going off, and all the kids were in the hallway. Al Ham, the pastor, he and I were standing at the front door, and you couldn't see. The wind was blowing the rain into the front door, the glass door, where we couldn't see 2 feet in front of us. And we were like, oh, my goodness. I wonder how Paula's making it, because she's, 9 months pregnant, and I need to check on her, but there's no way I could leave the school to go check on her. Now, we lived in a parsonage, which was a house that the church owned. It was just right down through a field over, to the house. And the rain let up a little bit. You know how the calm comes sometimes before the storm? And so there was a little calm that took place during that storm. And I told Brother Al, I said, Brother Al, I believe I can make it over to the house. Now, I'm going to run over there. So I take off, and I'm running. Right, so now I got to go through the parking lot into a yard, which is probably about 50 yards wide. I'm 50 yards wide in a football field for Tennessee fans that aren't accustomed to watching a football field like regular. Any Tennessee fans here? They're getting fewer and fewer. I'm in Knoxville. Only 3 people raised their hands. In Knoxville. Can you believe that? So anyway, I'm taking off through the yard. And it's been pouring rain, so I'm like, squish, squish, squish. All of a sudden, I hear the wind. I feel it hitting me. It's picked back up. And as I get halfway in the yard, I see the house that I'm running to. My sights are on the house. My wife is in there. I need to check on her. And all of a sudden, the back of the house, which I'm looking at the front, there's an awning that goes across all the way across the house. So it's probably 70 feet, maybe 60 feet. The whole back awning is coming up over the back of the house toward me in the yard. So you know what I did? I panicked. And I'm like, it's going to land on me. So you know what I did? There's only one tree in the middle of that yard. In the whole yard, there's one tree. I got up under that tree, and I held on because the tree was going to brace me from the effects of that awning crashing in on my bald head. So as I get under that tree, the awning lands right in front of me, and I'm scared to death. Now, I want you to kind of get this perspective where Paula's at. She's at the front of the house looking out the window. She hears everything being torn off. She sees me coming through the yard, but she's afraid a tornado's coming and going to suck me up, and she didn't want to see it. So she ran downstairs to the basement so she wouldn't get sucked away with a tornado as well because she's pregnant. She left me out there in the rain and the winds and the storm and the lightning to be gobbled up. But the tree protected me. So once I realized I could make it to the house, This is a true story. I took off inside the house. I didn't know she went to the basement. So I'm looking through the house. I'm thinking, in the meantime, while I ran from the church over here, the Lord had came back, took her, and left me. So I'm like praying, Lord, please don't let this be the second coming. You know, Lord, I'm saved. You know, like, you ever had that time too where you feel like, man, I can't find anybody. Lord must have come back. But then I found her, so I knew she had hid away downstairs to leave me to get gobbled up. But I understand tornadoes, and I understand the circumstances and the winds and all that kind of stuff. I know sometimes it's scary. And the winds can cause us to be moved. The circumstances that come in our life can really rattle our foundation. We allow it to do that. It shouldn't, but we allow it to. You have winds of temptation, winds of circumstances, a temptation to maybe gossip, maybe to be negative, to be critical. It blows in and it attracts us. It gets our attention away from our goal, because that day that I was running over the house, the goal was to make it to the house. And I got distracted because the awning was coming over. And sometimes we do have to be careful, because the devil is very sneaky. And he'll throw darts at you. And you got to be careful to ward off those things, but not let those things keep your attention away from what God. Because if you're just playing defense all the time, you're never going to win. You got to get the ball. You have to score. You have to be on offense. As Christians, we've got to be offensive. And we can't let the winds of trouble, the temptation, the circumstances blow our way and get us at our weakest points too. Because you know what? When you've had revival and everything's going great, it's like, man, the devil's not going to get me. But what about when you have some problems? When you get weak and down? That's when the devil really knows. So I want to encourage you today, don't get discouraged. Don't let the devil deceive you. He's much smarter than we give him credit for. So be careful. I like singing. I'm not going to sing today. I mean, not with something I've practiced. I may, you know, just blurt out a song every now and then. There's a lot of songs that we can sing that encourage us. I'm not going to do it now because I just said I won't. But faith in the Lord, trust in Him, can calm a storm. It's a blessing to know that He's a covert, the verse says. He's a covert from the tempest. The tempest is referring to the storms that may come our way. Storms that are economical, storms that may come your way socially, emotionally, physical storms that come our way. Your pastor is going through some physical storms right now. But you know what's funny about this? The Lord was not surprised. He knew the whole time. He knew what was coming. It's amazing that He prepares us. And by the way, we're all going to face one day that dreaded word, death. I've often said this. If through my death I can reach more people, if through my death I can reach more people than if I live and only reach, you know, 7 or 8 people, but in my death I reach 10, I want to die right then. I want to reach more people through my life or through my death, whatever the Lord chooses. And we need to be willing to do that, because if that was true, I think we'd be willing to die to ourselves daily. And that's what it takes for God to use us. We got to die to ourselves. Nothing takes Him by surprise. He's a covert. He's a shelter in the time of storm. He's a stronghold in battle. We need a place to go. Now, when that tornado hit Alabama, my mom called me. My mom was down at... So years ago, my grandma lives up on this hill. And my mom and dad moved a mobile home down below. Now, if you really want to do something funny, move a mobile home in Alabama and expect a tornado. Mobile homes are magnets for tornadoes. It's like if you live in a mobile home and a tornado's, you know, warning is out, the tornado's going to get up in the air and look for the mobile homes. So the tornado that day looked around and said, oh, that's Don and Carol's house. Let's go get it. And that tornado came on and smacked it. But what kept my parents safe was this. My granddaddy years ago built a storm shelter. Storm shelter was concrete walls, concrete ceiling. My grandma, who was already scared to death of tornadoes, she was already in the storm house that day. My dad went down to check on my grandma, and he was standing out beside the storm shelter. We call it the storm cellar. And Daddy was standing up by the storm cellar, and he saw this dark cloud come up. And he looked down at my mama, who was at the kitchen cooking, and said, come on. So she put the stove on the simmer. She cooks still today, not unlike my wife. She cooks too, but unlike some people today, don't cook. And she grabbed her two dogs. She went over to the storm cellar. My dad's still standing outside, because that's one thing in Alabama redneck teaches you, is that when a tornado comes and there's a warning, you get out and look for it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's what we did. So Daddy, believe it or not, he's outside. Yeah, you're from Alabama. He's outside. He's looking for the tornado. And while he's looking at the tornado, a beam from somewhere else came and slapped the side of the storm cellar, because above the storm cellar, my grandpa had built a shed on top of it, because it was a concrete ceiling. Built a shed, and a beam hit that. And my daddy starts seeing debris fly around in the air. And he's like, oh, I better get in the storm house. So he gets in the storm house. He shuts the door and says, it's getting rough out there. All of a sudden, that door is sucked open. And things started ruffling inside. So he goes and grabs the door. And he's holding it, you know, like. Now, you know how they say a tornado sounds like a train? I'm going to give you some information here so you'll understand. You're not going to hear that, woo-hoo! It's not that kind of sound. My wife thought when she moved to Alabama, she's going to hear that, woo-hoo! It's not like that. It's just that rumbling of the, woo-hoo! So they could hear that out there. And when everything got calm, they went outside and looked at the devastation. And it was horrible. Fortunately, they had a place to go in the storm. Can I tell you something? You have a place to go. You need to hold on to this truth. This is a nugget, because I promise you, you're going to go through some storms. You see, the Bible doesn't say that Jesus will prevent us from ever having the storm. It doesn't say he's going to keep you from the storm, because you're not going to stay away from the storms. They're going to come your way. You're not, you know, it's, because you know him doesn't mean you're not going to face the storm. It says that he will be a hiding place for us. He will be a covert, a shelter for us in the time of storms. It's a blessing to know that we have a place to go. Imagine the world without Jesus that do not know where to go. And can I tell you, if 80% is accurate, and that's what I'm looking at, I see those same numbers, 80, 90% of people are unchurched. That means 80 to 90% of people, more than likely, that's in the hospital, they have no hope. Which preaching to you today should help us realize, too, if we know that many people in the hospitals dying with no hope, what are we doing? They need to know the blessing that we know. It's who you know, and they don't know him. And if you know him, won't you tell others? They're looking for that blessed hope, and we need to share it. So the verse goes on, too. I've got to hurry up. It says, it's a blessing to know, too, that he is as rivers of water in a dry place. He's not just a stream. He's not just a creek. He's not just a spring that comes up there. It says he's rivers of water that's gushing out in a dry place. And I'm going to tell you something. We live in a dry world today. It is so dry. Jesus is the refreshment. He is the satisfaction. Jesus will bring satisfaction to you when you are looking for satisfaction, and we all look for satisfaction. Jesus will provide that for you. The world will always seem to be searching. They always are looking. That's why you see so many people. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against this. So many people are looking for happiness through Corvettes, Mustangs, bass boats. I'm just naming a few of the things that I've been thinking about, you know. Bass boats, fancy homes, nice clothes, all those things. Not going to bring satisfaction. By the way, satisfaction doesn't come through national championships, winning football games. It doesn't matter who won yesterday. Thank the Lord. Amen. Did NC State win yesterday? Oh, they did? We are blessed today to serve a Lord that will fill us with water in a dry place. But you know what I'm learning about water as well? If my cup is full, it's hard not to spit a little bit on people. It just is. I would challenge you to ask your spouse or someone that you are close to get a cup of water, fill it all the way, and hold it over your head, and you poke at them and see if you don't get a little water on you. How many of you think you'd get a little water on you? Let me tell you something. As Christians, we're getting poked all the time by the world, but they're not getting wet still because our cup's not full. And they're poking at us, and we're getting agitated, and we're frustrated, and all the wrong things come out of the cup. The wrong stuff is coming out. It's not what Jesus wants to come out. In John 4:14, we talk about the woman at the well. He said, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." Never means never. Never thirst. "But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water that," guess what? "Springing up into everlasting life." That well springs up in you everlasting. You are blessed to continue giving that everlasting life, giving that hope to other people of Jesus Christ. And I think it's natural for you as a believer to have your cup full because of all the good things. Now look, there are things that will detract from that cup as well. There are things that will take, the sponge will go in there and all of a sudden you're like half gone. It's like, what happened to that? Well, some sponges just take more out of us than others. And then things in life, circumstances, storms that come will zap us of all of that. But look, God wants to continue filling you. There shall be no reason anyone today in this room feels empty. You have no reason to feel empty. We're not working for things of this life. You got to understand that. If you got your Bibles, you want to turn, or I don't know if they put it up there. In John chapter 7, let's look at verse 37 through 39. I may just read a couple of verses here. John 7, verse 37. "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Those that believe should have... I'm not talking about accidentally spilling a couple drops on your spouse now. I'm talking about saturating your... I'm talking about not just pouring the whole cup. I'm talking about getting a water hose, a fire hose, and open it up on the spouse, and then would they get wet then? Absolutely. You see, Jesus promised us what we ought to have in us is rivers of water gushing out of us. Folks in this world that do not know Jesus, we ought to be a blessing to them because we're pointing them to Jesus. Everything we do in our life points them to Jesus. I just wonder today, the people you know that's not saved, are you a blessing to them? Are you a blessing to those that are lost? Revelation 22:17 says, "The Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." So I think the invitation is still true today. We need to come to Jesus. When we're hurting, when we're empty. Last thing I want to mention too, it says he's a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. A shadow of a great rock. Now, I used to love to sit under the shade tree. My memories, some of my best memories as a kid is sitting under the shade tree eating watermelon. I can still hear my grandma today say, "You need to get out of this sun, get in that shade over there, cool off." Because back then we didn't have air conditioning that we ran. If you run the air conditioner, you just had a lot of money because it run the electricity bill up. And if it's more than $20, you couldn't have that. You know what I'm saying? Anybody remember those days? So they say, "Cool off in the shade tree. I'll go get a big old butcher knife and a couple of spoons and we'll eat some watermelon." You talking about a grandma making a kid happy? I was happy. Got in that shade tree. But sometimes I'd notice that shade tree, there's some light still get through there. You know what I'm saying? And that shade was seasonal. Those leaves fall off and the sun get through there. But Jesus is a shadow of a great rock. Think of how refreshing it is to sit under that shade tree, but think how much better it'd be if it was a rock that wouldn't let anything get through. Jesus is our rest. He's our refreshment. He is offering rest to us, just like I would get in that shade, under the shade tree. If you're running and you're hurting, Jesus says, "Hey, I want to give you some rest today." Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30 says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. You ever just been tired and want to rest? My wife gets that way a lot of Sunday mornings. She comes to church and she's tired. She wants some rest. You know what I'm saying? You know those folks who get to church, they're just tired. They need some rest. You work hard, long days sometimes, and you get home, and it's just all you can do. Keep your eyes open, right? Especially after you eat dinner. Sometimes that's how we are spiritually. We're just tired. And sometimes we just don't want to go to church because, now I'm just speaking as a pastor, man, everybody just, they just suck everything out of you. I want you to think about this. Your pastor, he hears everybody's problems times 10, times 100 probably. Because what I've learned is as I leave places and go different places, I still have to minister to other people in other states. They still call. I still hear their problems. There's going to be some times in the next few weeks your pastor needs some rest. And you can provide that love of Jesus to he and his family. You can provide that shade, that comfort to him. Now, I'm not saying don't take your problems to him, anything like that, because he will pray for you, and I couldn't imagine not being able to do that. But choose when you do those things. And I'm going to tell you something else, too. God's gifted you with other men in the church. And we appreciate other men that help us bear burdens. And there's going to be sometimes, guess what? You don't have to tell him about what Miss Susie said to you that hurts your feelings. Just keep those things to yourself or share them with another brother that y'all will just pray and then stop talking about it. Normally, the only reason we want the preacher to pray for us is so we can gossip. It's the truth. Preacher, don't you pray for me and so-and-so. She said this about me, and we need some prayer. You feel better now that you shared that with me? You got it off your shoulder? You've been wanting to talk about her and all that stuff? And be careful. Be careful, okay? Be that rest and provide rest for others. Boy, it'd be nice if we just had a revival of rest, wouldn't it? Revival of rest. Well, we just took care of each other and helped each other. Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Today you may be battling some things. I got to hurry up, but my wife's already like, it's after 11:30. You may be struggling with stuff. By the way, there's two kinds of people. Those that are struggling with things and liars. Two kinds. If you're not struggling, something's wrong. Most folks I know is really trying to live for the Lord. It's really putting their best foot forward. The devil's trying to stop you. So you're either struggling or you're lying. If you're lying, you're struggling because you're lying. So everybody's struggling. You get that? Listen, if you don't think you're struggling, you're deceiving yourself. Let every man that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. Your struggle may be physical, may be spiritual, may be emotional, may be financial, but we're all struggling. Jesus will refresh us. Jesus will encourage us. Jesus is the hope that we need. We had a situation this week, unbeknownst to you. We were fearing some things. My wife had some tests done, and they called her back for some more tests, and so she texts me while I'm out in the lobby because I couldn't go back there. They don't really want guys going back, women's stuff, you know, I don't know. So I'm out in the lobby, so she's texting me. She's texting me some things, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I get on Google. It's the worst thing you can do. How many of you Googled your pastor's symptoms and stuff? Anybody do that? I ain't going to lie, I did too. I'm first thing, when I started, what in the world? And I started looking all that stuff. Be careful what you do with that because it'll scare you to death. So I started looking at Paula's situation, and I was like, oh, my goodness. And I said, because at the time, I thought we were going to be going through some of the same things. I said, this is what path God has chosen. Now, we're going to have to go down it, too. Sometimes the path God chooses is not what we want, but sometimes it's what He wants so we can glorify Him. The one thing I'm learning about life is this. It's not about me. Your life's not about you. You know, honestly, we're not even a pawn on the chess set. Jesus is way so much higher. It's all about Him and what we can do to bring honor and glory to Him. You can find rest in His Word. You can find rest in Him if you'll go to Him. This verse was used a lot back in the early 90s when I was in a Christian school in Mississippi. Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Sometimes resting, strengthening, it'll help you. Sometimes it's good for us to be in the valley so we can get some of the greener vegetation. It'll help us. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Jesus is all we need. Through Jesus, I'm going to tell you something. He will use His people to help us carry each other along the way. I like to use this analogy, and I hope it's not too juvenile for you. Batman's going to love this one, but it's really Spider-Man that I'm going to... Okay, I'm going to talk to you. In a church, we have superheroes. We all need to be like Spider-Man. You know what Spider-Man can do? He can shoot webs, and it'll grab a hold of people, and he can suck them back. Like, I just want you to imagine that you're all Spider-Man, okay? Not Superman or Batman. Don't get confused. And I want you to all think about shooting a web towards your pastor, to where he's not going to get low because you all are going to be holding him up. He's not going to hurt because you're going to be there to help him. And I want you to look at people that come into your church from week to week. Let's say you got some visitors that come in. What if everybody in the church shot a web on them? They're not going to be so easy to fall out if several people are connected to them. The more people in your church that will connect to visitors that come in here, so if 15 of you all had a web shot to that visitor that's visiting today or next Sunday, it's going to be hard for them to get out of the tangle. It's going to be hard to get out of the web. It's going to be hard for us if we're tied in with this church. It's going to be hard for us to hurt because so many godly people, loving people, are connected to us. And you know what we look at when we have problems? We look at, where is everybody? Nobody care for us? I used to be there. The idea I'm realizing now is it's not about me. It's, what am I doing to love other people? And I want to ask you today, what are you doing for other people so they are blessed because they know you? Because you're blessed because you know the Lord. But are other people blessed because of you? Because you've connected with them through the spider webs? Will you be that blessing to others? You say, Pastor Chad, I don't really know. I mean, I'm not sure how I can do this and what I can do. I'm going to tell you something. God has put together a body. And God doesn't make mistakes. You have a purpose. And you need to find it. You say, well, I just don't know. You start praying right now. You talk to your pastor and find out how you can be a blessing. The point today is you need to be a blessing to more people than you are. Let God use you today. I don't know how He's speaking to your heart, but I know He wants to use you. I know He wants to use you to be an encouragement, to win people to Christ. Whatever it is you can do, I know you can do it. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we love You. Thank You so much for the Word of God that can help us in times of need. Thank You for the Holy Spirit that will comfort us, that abides with us. Thank You for Jesus that died for us. Lord, I pray today You would help this church. The times that it may seem like a valley to some, that's where we can find refreshment in You. Speak to our hearts today. Help us to examine our lives and ask ourselves, have we been a blessing like we need to be? Lord, I pray that You would fill them with new ideas and fresh ways to reach people. Ideas to be a blessing to others. But help us because we've been blessed to be a blessing. Change our hearts today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.